The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to a new edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook in a crowded room with a lot of people and a very special guest. But let's go around the room first. Number one, Mr. Matthew Matera, producer extraordinaire.
Still breathing.
Barely. And then we're going to go to my boss, Scott Reynolds. How you doing, Scott?
I will be doing a lot better if the Lightning can actually win one of these playoff games.
No, you're not going to be doing good after tonight. It's over.
I know.
Four-game sweep. Biggest collapse in modern sports history.
Yep.
Taylor Jenkins, no longer an intern, a full-fledged member of the Pewter Report team. How are you, Taylor?
I'm doing well.
And you have your hat on backwards again.
I do.
Not well, a good look.
We're not in a press conference.
That's true. I had to yell at you today for wearing it backwards the other day. I did, actually. And
thanks, Dad.
And this voice.
Tony Romo wears his hats backwards.
Yes. Tony Romo is also
the greatest announcer of all time.
He is. I agree with that. The voice you hear is one you haven't heard in a while, but our man, Mr. Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network, is back for a special guest appearance as we get ready for the draft.
It's like riding a bike.
Is it?
Yeah, you fall over and get hurt a lot.
That's the way this podcast is going to go. A lot of bruised knees and scraped elbows.
Exactly. The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. Westshore Financial takes the time to develop a relationship with their clients and understand what's important to them. Then and only then can Westshore Financial help clarify the financial world and engineer a balance sheet strong enough to potentially withstand a worst-case scenario, protecting families against catastrophes, and then focusing resources to achieve the best version of their clients' lives. Now, whether it's life insurance, investments, or retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for your future and protect your family's finances today. Chris is a Tampa native. He's been a 15-year friend of myself and the Pewter Report team here. I've known Chris for decades, going back to his days when he was a sports anchor covering the Bucks in the Tampa Bay area. I've been a proud Westshore Financial client with Chris before he became a presenting sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Chris is so caring and knowledgeable, taking the time to get to know my current financial situation and then understand my goals and dreams. I wouldn't trust my family's finances with anyone other than Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial. Give him a call today. Send him an email. Set up an appointment about the ways that Chris can help protect you and your family. Don't wait. Call today at 813-434-0037. Call Chris for a complimentary, no-obligation, preliminary conversation. Or email Chris at cgarrido, that's G-A-R-R-I-D-O, at westshorefinancial.com.
So what you're saying, Scott, is I should not secure my family's future by walking the beaches with a metal detector hoping to find Spanish gold and lost remnants from shipwrecks. I should call Chris.
Yes, that is not a sound financial strategy.
You can do both.
Yeah,
right?
You could.
It's true. Like, I take that gold, I go to Chris and say, here, invest this.
Yeah. I would say that would be a supplemental retirement strategy,
okay.
But I would call Chris for the primary financial retirement strategy.
All right. Well, very good. You guys make sure to give Chris a call. Check out Westshore Financial. We thank them for being the official title sponsors of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Speaking of strategies, we just came from Jason Light's press conference. I think the strategy is going to be to depart with one Gerald McCoy.
Jeez.
Right?
You laid it on him for the first question. That was good.
That was a heater right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
And you know that Jason's really uncomfortable with this stuff too.
Because
pre-draft.
He's already nervous.
I'm pretty sure like every head coach has to do this, right?
Yeah.
Every head coach kind of has to do a pre-draft.
Or
address
GM.
The media. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. GM. That's what I meant. Sorry, don't podcast anymore. Just kidding. So
First time you fell and scraped
your knee. He's got to be more ready for that, right? I mean, he knew that question was coming.
No, I don't think so.
How does he not know that question is coming?
Because I think he wanted it to be about the draft. And, of course...
Oh, my goodness. It's an open mic thing. He's got to
know more than that. No, I agreed, but I don't think that he was expecting that from me in the first question.
Good on you, then.
Well, I just wanted to change it up a little bit. You know, I like to... You know, usually Rick Stroud will fire the first fireball.
Oh, yeah.
I just said today's my
day. But you did a good job of kind of defending it when you said, well, I mean, if Gerald's going to get dealt at this point.
It will be.
It's going to get dealt.
For a draft pick. So. Yeah. And you're going to have to draft his replacement.
Right. And his response kind of was basically like, oh, well, Gerald's on the team. So,
yeah.
Yay.
I mean, the best part about it is, and you can read the story on PewterReport.com. You can even listen to the audio of it, but if you actually watch the video of it on Buccaneers.com, it really kind of befuddled him. I mean, he was shaken up right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Kind of like how the Lightning have been ever since the first period of the series.
Suck. Yeah. They're just bad.
Well, wow.
Yeah, okay.
Jump right off that bandwagon, Trevor.
Listen.
Are your parents canceling their season tickets?
By the way, Stammer, can we get a goal? Stammer?
No.
When I see him on the bench and they're down, I see him and I see you and I get literally mad at you.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not even exaggerating. I saw him the other night in the third period. And I was like, damn it, Trevor. Damn you.
Yeah.
Surprised I didn't get a call or a text. Jason's funny when he addresses press conference stuff like that because he does sound a little bit flustered because Jason has so much to say about the draft, right? I mean, like, this is how he came up in the league, like knowing draft strategies, changing things like that. But he also knows, like, he can't give all the information that we want to ask him.
Right.
Like, I'm pretty sure basically somebody at the press conference wants to go, like, all right, tell us about Devin White.
Yeah.
Because you're probably going to draft him at 5.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't.
That's what Rick was alluding to, I think, with his linebacker questions.
I almost kind of wanted just Rick to be like, all right, so talk to us about Devin White. That was it. He talked about, like, linebacker importance and do you get a good player at 5 and all this. So. I kind of just wanted him to say Devin White's name.
Yeah.
This
whole McCoy Buccaneers situation is, you know, there's this huge elephant in the room and everybody's dancing around it, but everybody kind of knows. No, I'm not.
Does the elephant wear a number 93 jersey?
Yes. He's wearing a number 93 jersey. And I don't know. He may have dropped it off at Goodwill like Dirk Cutter did. I don't know. In fact, you know what? I'm going to send our guys out to all the local Goodwills and
Scavenger
Armies.
Yeah.
Just to see. And then we'll be able to break the story.
Then you can auction it off.
If all of Gerald McCoy's 93 stuff is at the local Goodwill tomorrow, we'll know that
he's probably getting traded.
He's done.
Okay, so the most likely trade is during the draft, right?
Yes, I would think.
Ain't nobody trading for $13 million.
No. But you're not trading Gerald straight up. Correct. It's just not going to happen.
I know.
If it would have happened, they would have already done it.
Right. Like Stroud and I were talking after the press conference. Were they going to move up 10 spots in the 5th round? I mean, that's essentially what you're hoping for.
Right.
The main thing you're hoping for is somebody to take that $13 million off.
Of course.
Your plate.
Yeah.
And that's going to go away via a trade or...
Because he has to get cut June 1st, right? June 1st is the hard deadline for McCoy.
No, not really.
I thought it was.
He can get cut at any point in time, and they'll save $13 million.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
Talk amongst yourselves. Taylor, here, take the mic.
That's fine. Now, listen, at some point in time, because he is a veteran, if he's on the roster by week one, then his salary is guaranteed. He'll be a vested veteran. So I think they can carry this all the way up through to week one.
I think during that last,
correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm
CBA,
pretty sure that's the case.
That old June 1 deadline.
I mean, there's certain ways you can release a player after June 1 if you want the cap hit, if you want part of the cap hit to go into next year's cap. But there's no cap hit for Gerald McCoy.
But now, if he gets injured right now,
that
optional, if he were here,
that's the big.
It would be guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the biggest reason why
Bruce Arians has said don't come.
Don't come. Because if he gets injured this week at a voluntary training camp, that $13 million is his regardless.
And do you want Gerald McCoy in the building with the other, 60, 70 guys that are here right now and them coming up, hey, what's going on? Where are you going?
Yeah.
It's just a distraction.
Or, creating added camaraderie, right? I mean, because Gerald McCoy comes in here and he acts like this super leader and he acts like this great guy and he's getting along with everybody, then all of a sudden you trade him. Guess who's pissed? Your players.
Yeah.
They're still here. So it makes total sense why they're not going to bring him out. By the way, no, you're right. The number that I was looking for is just it's showing what they're saving.
Yes.
What he was cut. I thought it was like the June 1st deadline, but I think you're right. It just rolls over to the next year depending on when he's cut. Yeah, I ultimately think that I talked about this last week. He's going to get dealt early day three. That's what I think. I think they're going to move up from like the fifth or sixth round and just move up like 20 picks. We'll throw in Gerald McCoy, right? Because the big thing that they need to do, the reason why Gerald McCoy has zero trade value right now is because this interior defensive line class is really good.
Yeah.
So nobody's trading for a 30, what is he, 31, 32?
31.
He's 46.
Trading for a 31-year-old guy who just had back-to-back six sack seasons. Mm-hmm. $13 million on the books.
Hasn't played a full 16 games in several years.
They also know that they're going to cut him. Okay, nobody's going to do that as a primary option when they could instead go and draft a really good interior defensive lineman. So what they have to do is they have to wait for the first 2 days of the draft to be over.
Yeah.
And they have to target one of those teams that would have been interested in Gerald McCoy that didn't get an interior defensive tackle.
Right.
Then you make a move. Then you can move up 20 or so spots in day three. That's how it's going to happen, I think.
Yeah, and I think also, too, and maybe I should look this up. I might be talking out of turn. I don't probably. Know. I don't know. Well, maybe. I'm prefacing
usually,
that by saying I
most
I
of the time.
Possibly am.
Yeah,
I don't know if the Patriots can afford Gerald. I don't know how much cap room they have. I know that they saved some by not having Gronk on there this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are picking, 39, I think?
They're picking 39, yeah.
Yeah, 39. And so maybe you give up Gerald – to get up to 32.
Oh, Lord, that's a steal.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like they might use Gerald that way to
if
say.
If you can package Gerald for anything in the first three rounds,
yeah, it's that's
steal.
Really good value.
It's a steal.
Right. Yeah. And I wouldn't rule that out. I wouldn't rule out a short-term jump because we're talking from 32 to 39. That's not
the,
that far.
The jump can get bigger the farther you get into
correct.
The draft. But, yeah, so, certainly if you're picked top 50, no question.
And then that way, if you can sit there and – I think the scenario that kind of intrigues me a little bit is if Jeffrey Simmons slides into the second round, or if he's there at 32.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. If he's there, the balls that Jason Light – well, hold on.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to say it, and then you can rebut the point.
All right.
Okay? But
I'm here for rebuts.
There you go. if you're Jason Light, the balls you have and saying, I'm here on my one-year deal, and I'm going to use my second-round pick on a – top 10/top 5 talent when healthy, but a guy that is not going to play in 2019, and I'm going to give up McCoy. What are you going to do at the 3 technique defensive tackle spot? You can't go in with Nacho. You can't sit there and say, Raheem Nunez-Roches, you're going to be the starting 3.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have to draft another defensive tackle, maybe a Byron Cowart later in the draft, and say, you're the guy, and you know, and then we'll rotate, hey, when we're in the four-man front, we're the Buccaneers. It's going to be JPP kicking inside and alongside Vita Vea. And then in the 3-4, you know, we'll roll with a rookie, a Coward, or something like that. But damn it, next year we've got Jeffrey Simmons.
Right.
We're essentially getting two top five picks
right.
this year.
Mark, what were you saying?
I was just going to say you can't afford, if you're Jason Light, to take a guy – it's not going to play for you this year. You can't. I mean, you don't have that luxury. I mean, Jerry Jones did that a few years ago with the linebacker from
he did that
Notre
last
Dame.
Year with Ronald Jones.
Well, that was a draft that, missed
that
up,
was
so.
Not the plan.
Yeah.
They did not select him to not play.
I mean, it's
agreed,
it's,
but
it makes it easier because I see B reporters or fans or things that use TDN's mock draft machine kind of start to throw Simmons into that end of the first round, even middle of the first round, and they justify it by saying, like, look, this guy's a top 15 player, okay? You get the extra year on his contract. You just let the first year be the redshirt year. That's a lot easier to defend. But for the Bucs, like, let's say they keep their fifth pick, right? Or I think in a perfect world, we can get into Devin White because I ultimately picked up on a handful of clues that Jason Light talked about that I'm like, okay, they're drafting Devin White. But let's say they get to 5. I believe that the piece that is going to covet the most trade value in this draft is not going to be a quarterback. Well, it's Kyler Murray for like 100% at number 1, but I don't think that he's going to get there. I think Arizona is going to take Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
After Kyler Murray, I think it's Ed Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could go down the list and you could go, okay, the Jaguars at 7, Detroit at 8, Buffalo at 9, Denver at 10, Cincinnati at 11, Miami at 13, the
Washington
Falcons
at
14. All of every single one of those teams would take Ed Oliver. All of them.
Yeah.
And
oh,
so
yeah.
all of a sudden, now you've got leverage. If you got the 5th overall pick, you just turn your phone on, and if Ed Oliver's still on the board, that's, I think, the most coveted player. So in a perfect world for the Buccaneers, I guess you want to call it perfect, whatever, you might be able to get back from five, move to, say, somewhere around where 10 is, pick up an extra second-round pick, mm-hmm. draft Devin Bush or Devin White, depending on who's there. So you get the linebacker that they now desperately need for that 3-4. You can potentially draft a guy like Jeffrey Simmons at the top of the second round, but then you have that extra second-round pick that you just traded down to get.
Right.
So I think that Jeffrey Simmons and kind of what could be with Gerald McCoy could come into play if they do something like that, which is, I don't want to talk too much like, oh, fantasy, not reality thing with the game of the drafts. You can do that all day long, but like that's a viable strategy, I think.
Yeah.
Because Jason talked at the podium that they have five players that they think they really would like.
Yeah.
Quarterback's not one of them.
Correct.
So you could take Kyler off the board. So that means that they're guaranteed already a five to get all of the guys that they want. And we know other teams' boards aren't going to be the same. So that's kind of the way that I look at it. Jeffrey Simmons would be a really, really great pick for them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he plays until December, probably at the earliest. And in December, you're only talking about if the Bucs are making a playoff run.
Sure.
So,
all right. So you just pissed off a lot of Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans that are Ed Oliver enthusiasts. They're like, wait a minute. Why the hell, if Ed Oliver's there at five, why don't you take Ed Oliver?
I mean, I would. If,
okay.
If I'm the GM, I'm doing that. I'm taking
Depending
Ed
on
Oliver.
Who else is there, though. I mean,
sure.
That's...
I mean, like, I'm not taking him over Quinnen.
Right. Right.
Quinnen's not going to be there.
Right.
So I think if I'm thinking out loud here, my...
But you're taking Oliver over White.
Yes. Easily. Yes. I wouldn't think twice about it. And I think Devin White's going to be a good football player, but Ed Oliver, I talked about this a couple of months ago. There's a lot of differing opinions on what Ed Oliver could be for a lot of different teams.
Mm-hmm.
His playing weight is certainly one of them. You know, he played nose tackle at 275
he was misused.
When he was in Houston, right? And so he had a crap ton of success while still being a 275-pound like nose tackle. Okay?
Right.
He'll be much different in the NFL, but I think coaches have to be willing to be pretty versatile with him.
Mm-hmm.
For the Bucs, Ed Oliver makes a lot of sense. Because they already have Vita Vea.
Right.
Vea is so much of a – he's such a massive human being. I think he's going to take a big jump in year two, hopefully health-wise. Certainly, you just hope he's on the field more. When he was told to actually rush the passer how he thought, we saw the kind of production that he could have last year. Put a guy like that next to a guy like Ed Oliver. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about something. Now you're talking about a really great, young, interior defensive core who – man, years three and four of what they're playing, these guys could be truly difference-making dominant.
Yeah.
So for the Bucs, I think it makes sense.
Here's another scenario that not a lot of people are thinking about, but you could get Jeffrey Simmons, and we just talked about getting another defensive tackle down the road.
You keep talking about him. Where are you getting him at?
Top of the second.
Okay.
You might be able to.
Yeah.
I did an article that talked about guys who have had catastrophic injuries during the late in the draft process who were normally first-round picks.
Right.
And the sweet spot is 34 to 42.
Yeah.
That's been the sweet spot.
Jalen Smith, right, for the Cowboys.
Jalen Smith, Sidney Jones.
Right.
The running back from the Bills, I forget his name. Dermot Thomas, is that his name? What's his name? I totally forgot.
LeSean McCoy?
No. Not now. Like way back in the game.
Oh.
Yeah, it had to have been Thurman Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
O.J. Simpson.
You know,
if only we knew,
you know, but like that's a sweet spot. That's
right.
Always a sweet spot of where these top guys go. So second rounds,
but you know why that sometimes that's a sweet spot, Trevor, because I'm sitting here thinking a team that makes perfect sense for a guy like Simmons would be New England. They can get away with that. I mean,
those
at 32,
guys,
yeah. And then you have them on the fifth-year deal. So the first year is a redshirt year. Essentially, you're paying them no big deal.
What if they did this? Ed Oliver at 5, Jeffrey Simmons at 39. Wow. Just give me the GM job right
there
now.
There you go. But I think the one wild card people aren't really factoring in is Vita Vea, when he played at Washington, Jimmy Lake's defense was a 3-4 and a 4-3. And Vita Vea played everything from a 5-tech defensive end to a 3-tech position in the 3-4 and also in the 4-3 as well as the nose tackle in the 4-3 and the 3-4.
No, he was all over.
Right.
And you know,
and so what you could do is you trade McCoy and you can sit there and draft a player that could play nose. And I know they've had Dexter Lawrence, so maybe he could be a second round pick.
Yeah.
But Vita Vea, I wouldn't rule him out of the mix at the three technique position.
Listen, if they can somehow come away with, you know, I don't know exactly what everybody's thoughts are on picking Devin White at five, but
I would favor that. Sure.
If Devin White's at five,
yeah.
If they pick Devin White at five, and let's say like they get Dexter Lawrence somehow at the top of the second round, mm-hmm. all of a sudden that's a really good haul. All of a sudden it makes sense because you're right. I think you get two pretty athletic interior guys where you're stopping the run all the time and you give yourself some upside to play that. We could talk about Devin White a little bit here if you want to get into it. He's been a very popular pick for the Bucks at number five for a long time. And listening to what
this
Jason
is January 18th.
You got the date on lock.
You have the date.
You got the receipts.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. From what Jason Light said at the podium, he talked about things that made me think they're taking Devin White, okay?
He rides horses.
Right. He's got the horses in the back. Yep. Shout out everybody who gets that.
Yep. He reads PewterReport.com.
Religiously. Lifelong PewterReport.com fan. He said, Jason, this is Jason Light. Said that one of the main things that he got from Bruce Arians when he was during their time in Arizona was that you are drafting, and he said, I'm combining things here. What he's learned so much about scouting is that you are obviously drafting people as much as you are players, mm-hmm. right? That's a big part that goes into it. Devin White, we have heard, is a phenomenal dude, okay?
Alpha
male leader.
So we
know that they're going to love him, kind of like that
culture
leader
changer.
Person,
yeah.
okay? He also linked that to when he was in Arizona, Bruce Arians said, trust, loyalty, respect, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's keying up for all the things that you would say about a guy like Devin White.
Sure.
He talked about how...
Trevor, you keep an eye on this stuff, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I will.
Uh-huh.
When did Devin White announce he was leaving for the draft? Wouldn't you call that the 11th hour?
Yeah,
wouldn't you
he
call
was
that,
late.
Like, the day
Yeah, Devin White
before...
was late. I don't remember exactly what the day was, but it was late.
It literally was, like, the night before.
Yeah.
Because he had so much trust, loyalty, respect for LSU.
Which goes into it. And then he also, Jason, defended when he was asked about the question mm-hmm. that linebacker is a rising priority in the NFL. And I think that he said that with maybe a little bit of bitterness in his voice because he probably didn't expect Quan Alexander to get that much money. And I'm sure that he wanted Quan Alexander
and
back.
You know what?
But C.J. Mosley got that money,
I was
going to
say, I think C.J. Mosley really is the comp because – this is a guy that was a first-round pick by the Ravens later, obviously not fifth overall, mm-hmm. but later. And what, four-time Pro Bowler?
Something.
At least three.
Something like that.
And then $17
million? $17 million a year.
Yeah.
Crazy. So I think that a lot of that when you – Jason Light is very much a GM who I think that he will give you hints. You've taught me that a lot from being around him. And you can – you'll be able to pick up hints because – and that's a – you could call it like a weakness of him as a GM, but like you could just tell Jason loves talking about football. Like he loves football. He just loves the game. He loves his job, all that kind of stuff. And he loves it so much that sometimes when you get him talking, you could pick up little hints.
Yeah.
I thought today those were a lot of the hints.
Bill Belichick, he is not.
Right. And so that's like he can't help but talk and ball. It's what he loves to do.
Right.
It's why he cares a lot as a GM.
I want to play poker with Jason Light.
Everybody wants to play poker with Jason Light. Yeah.
Were you ever at the table with him?
Never been at a table with him, no. I don't know that he's ever played it in
Does
the
Does he not play?
Tournament. No.
When we do that Sweet Holders thing?
No, I haven't seen him actually play. Because he knows he would probably just be out right away. I'm putting everything in, all in.
Yeah. You probably look at this hand and be like, oh, look at this hand. You know,
I've got one ace. All in. No,
Taps person next to him shows him the two cards like this. So, yeah, I think that those are the hints that I picked up today, and that kind of confirmed that. Obviously, it's not 100% anything could happen in the draft, but, like,
okay,
they have such a linebacker need.
Wait,
and
guys,
White makes
wait,
sense.
Guys, listen, I heard a sound. Listen.
No, you just heard it now. You just made it with your voice.
What was that sound, Scott?
I don't know. What was it?
Poof. It was Thor coming down to Earth and landing on the ground.
Poof.
Fireworks?
My gosh, Matt, can you help me out here?
It's a flare gun.
A flare gun, okay, of course.
Man. I know. I just was.
Jason
being an
Light
ass.
Doesn't exactly shoot flare guns off when he talks about the draft.
Right.
But maybe he should. And if he wanted to get a flare gun, there's only one place to find one.
It's only one place that I know
the
of.
The Flare Gun Superstore of Tampa Bay, better known as
T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's. Located at 50th Street in Atomos since 1948. They're getting worse, Trevor. I'm telling you, they're getting worse. Since 1948, T.A. Mahoney's has been your one-stop shop for all of your marine needs, from boat repairs to simple apparel. Right now, all of their Costa merchandise apparel is on sale, 40% off. Not the sunglasses, but the hats and the shirts and things like that. If you just need a new look when you're out on the water, T.A. Mahoney's is the place to go. Go see Mike. Go see Matt. Go see Mark. Go see the whole family, the crew. Great people. They can tell you some great stories. And what I love about it, when I go in there, they're like family. You go in there, sometimes you just pull up a chair and you sit and talk. You see guys just sitting around, probably been there for an hour before I got there, and probably will stay for another hour. It's not like a typical box store where you just walk in and you're treated just like money. They treat you like family at T.A. Mahoney's, 50th Street in Adamo. Check them out online, tamahoney.com.
You know, Trevor, you were talking about looking for clues, and I like that. It's a good sound effect.
I have no idea what a flare gun sounds
like. It would probably sound like that.
That's decently close. Yeah.
Like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think one of the clues that he was talking about.
I have a new talent.
All right. Wow, cool.
Would be the guy from the police academy.
Michael
movies.
Winslow? Yeah. No, you're not that. You're not in that realm.
Not that good.
One of the clues that I think Jason was talking about when it came to linebackers is the question was asked about Kendall Beckwith. We've been waiting for an update all offseason.
He's done.
Agreed.
No way.
Agreed.
No.
But the fact that Jason is still kind of stringing us along by not revealing the fact that, yeah, he's done or his career is messed up or whatever. I know I said that we would have an update and we're still waiting on one final thing. I think it's all BS. I think what they're saying is they don't want the red alarm bell and the flashing light going off saying,
we need linebackers,
right? I think they want to try to keep that myth around, like, oh, well, Kendall still might factor in. But even if he did it, it still wouldn't matter. You still have Levante David, who's 29, will be 30 next year. He'll be entering the last year of his contract in 2020. Jack Sitchie has a torn ACL. Kendall still has yet to play football since his rookie season. Buchanan's
here on a one-year deal. Mentor's here on a one-year deal.
Right. Exactly.
Now, and that's the thing, too.
Yeah, everybody keeps forgetting Riley. Don't sleep on Riley Bulla. Actually, somebody brought that up on Twitter or Instagram the other day, and Riley retweeted it.
That's good.
He pays attention.
I like Riley.
I do too.
Yeah, he's got to protect his own brand.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe Todd Bowles turns him into a superstar. We never know.
That would be great.
Better coaching.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly who, you know?
Exactly.
No, it's a really good point because I was talking about this the other day too. You look at the linebackers on this team, Levante David goes down.
Yeah.
Who's playing linebacker for this team?
Right. You are.
Nobody. This is about as barren as whatever the right guard spot was basically over the last couple of years, and you're about to switch to a potential 3-4 because you want to have a mismatch chance with other teams. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's desperation bad. Mm-hmm. Levante David's the only true linebacker you can even trust to start on this team.
Yeah. Buchanan's and to be a three-down guy.
Right, Buchanan is totally. I like the addition. It's fine.
He's a nickel moneybacker
specialist. Yeah. If what he can do can neutralize a team that week, he'll play. Everybody else on the team is, you know, either not experienced or just not good enough to be starters, and that's the way that it is. So, I hear you and I agree with everybody who says, man, you don't take a linebacker at 5. I get you, but this team needs a linebacker.
Yeah. And once you get past Bush and White. There's
it's
a significant drop-off.
It's not good. If they take Ed Oliver at 5, which everybody knows, like Ed Oliver would probably be number 2 on my board. Well, I mean, Bosa. But Ed Oliver would probably be number 2 on my board. It's either him or Allen. That would then force them, 100% force them, to take a linebacker at the top of the second round. They don't even have a choice. If a guy slides down, if there's a guy who, oh, man, this corner slid, we really like him, don't matter.
Yeah.
You cannot go into the season with just Levante David and the rest of his linebackers.
Yeah. And then who would that linebacker be in the top of the second round?
I mean, you're
because you're reaching. You're really drafting a third round guy in the second at a
need. You're either taking Mack Wilson, who certainly has the higher ceiling, but he's like, I don't think Mack Wilson's going to be a guy that they like just because of things that I've heard off the field.
Yep,
it's just not going to be a thing.
Yep.
Blake Cashman you like, but you're taking him at 39?
I mean, no way.
Right, you're not. Yeah. And then the only other guy that might have the ceiling for it is Voshon Joseph. But Voshon's so on and off, hot and cold.
Right.
Are you re-looking? I mean, that's basically what you picked Quan Alexander to be.
Sure.
In the fourth round.
Yeah.
Now, Quan way overachieved him being a fourth rounder. But even now, Quan had his moments and he didn't have his moments, right? I mean, I thought that he got really overpaid for how consistent
big
he
time.
Was,
absolutely.
Right? So.
Yeah. And he's going to start the season on PUP.
So then what do you – right. And so I don't – it gets rough, man, if you don't pick a linebacker in the first round. That's why I ultimately think, because Devin Bush and Devin White are there, if you can trade back and still get in the top 10, like if you could pick like 8 or 9, you can guarantee yourself you're getting one of the Devins. That's honestly probably the best strategy for the Buccaneers going into
that. I will say this, because I did something on Devin Bush several weeks ago in the Fab Five, just to put him on the radar, too, for other Buccaneer fans out there.
Mullet, dreadlock, hair. Very difficult combo to pull off.
And he does it.
Very
difficult. He does it, yeah.
You ever seen it, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
It's literally, if you're looking at him face on, and he's got the dreads tied, all business, professional guy, turns his head to the side, and you go, hold up now, what are we doing back here? It goes like flat top, mullet.
Yeah.
But it's a dreadlocked mullet.
Yeah, it's almost like an African-American Jared Allen. In a way.
Sort of.
You know what I'm saying?
Sort of.
Like in terms of the party in the back.
Business up front, party in the back.
That's right. He pulls it off. I will say this. From what I've come to understand, that it's not 1A and 1B between Devin White and Devin Bush.
I don't think it is either.
It is 1 and 2.
Yeah. I don't think it is either.
It is not 1A and 1B. It is 1 and 2. And it's not that
How high do you think Devin White is for them? If you gave me right now.
Number 5. That's what I think.
No,
I think Devin White is the number 5 overall pick in this draft.
Right. But if you gave me the Bucs big board right now,
Quinnen Williams is number 1.
What do you think?
Quinnen's number 1.
Which is just thank you. Yep. I didn't want to drive myself with insanity thinking that they might not.
I think number 2 is Nick Bosa.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
I think number 3 is Devin White, and I think number 4 is Josh Allen.
I mean, I believe you.
That's what I think.
Where does Derwin James fit on this?
They pass on.
Derwin James is so last year.
Wait, what did he say in the press conference that you and I were clowning about? What did he say? Oh, he's like,
you can't expect, you don't always expect your first round guys to necessarily be all pros and Pro Bowls.
He leans over and he goes, Derwin James.
Sometimes they do.
Listen, you know, can't disagree with it at this point.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Okay, I guess we're done.
See
you. Yeah, it was good seeing you again, Trevor.
Let's talk a little bit about the second round, because that has really been Jason's Achilles heel, dating all the way back to 2014 with Austin Seferian Jenkins.
ASJ.
And then, of course, even above that debacle, you got to put Roberto Aguayo.
What?
You do. Just saying. And of course, throw Noah Spence in the equation.
Noah Spence is the right pick. 100%. You can even look at Noah Spence being the basically overall failure that he's been, but I can't look back on that draft and think Noah Spence was.
No, I agree. I think leading up to that draft, Noah Spence was like first round talent who just had some issues with leaving Ohio State, going to a small school where he absolutely dominated. When that happened, I was looking at going like, oh my God, you just got first round talent in the second round.
No, right. Yes.
You just got an unbelievable edge rusher.
225 pounds. He's been 250 pounds. He obviously had the rookie year that he got 5.5 sacks, and then he had the shoulder injuries. Noah Spence is the right pick.
I mean, this is probably the first.
You look at. Oh, don't do this to me. Don't play this game.
I'm looking at Mock Draftable website you showed me.
Okay.
And yes,
it's a great website, isn't it?
It is. And keep in mind that, yes, Noah Spence did blow up at the Senior Bowl. He had a great week, and that's really what kind of propelled his stock a little bit. But when you look at how he measures up, and I remember talking to somebody I trust when it comes to defensive linemen, I'll just say that. That 4.8 in the 60-yard dash, that's a little reminiscent of Ja'Kai Polite. And I think that sometimes when you look
out for Ja'Kai Polite.
What's that?
I said, pour one out for Ja'Kai Polite.
I know.
His draft stock's dead.
I know. I'm just saying. It's like that. And you can the flip side of that is Terrell Suggs, right? Because Terrell Suggs was supposed to be a surefire top 5, maybe number 1 overall pick.
Yeah.
And he ran a similar 40-yard dash time.
Yeah.
And I think he slid to, 10 or 11, something like that, where Baltimore got him.
Mm-hmm.
Still a great player. I mean, phenomenal Hall of Fame type player. But when you look at the measurables, 6'2", 251, 33-inch arms. I'm just going by the statistics here.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of we're talking 10 percentile, 12 percentile, 26 percentile. Hand size, 10 3/4. There's your highest statistic, 95%. Good on you, Noah, all right? But you look at the 4.8, that's a 60 percentile. That's not good. That's not elite.
Sure,
traits.
Right.
And the 10-yard split was better, 1.61. That's now you're up to 74 percentile. The broad jump, 82%. Okay, you've got some explosion there. The three-cone drill, 7.21. That's 53rd percentile mm-hmm. among defensive linemen.
I mean, that's why he's a second-round pick.
I know.
I guess.
I know.
All I'm saying is I would have been on Noah Spence. But anyway, I kind of derailed what you were talking about there with second-round pick stuff. But, yeah, I just wanted to say that about Noah.
So my whole thing is Jason already comes out with
I don't think he's good, by the way. Like, now. Like, I don't have any. Like,
now that we've seen him, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't really have any faith in him.
Yeah.
Unless his shoulder is completely healthy and he turns into some.
It was completely monster. Healthy last year.
It's from his shoulders
He's
up,
fooled me
man.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's from his shoulders up. It's rushing
with the like the problem. First offseason that I haven't gone like, oh, this is his time. Like, this is his chance. Like even through like the shoulder injury, I was like, nah, it's fixed. And then he came in and he like dropped 20 pounds and I was like, oh, he's going to be faster. And then he gained 40 pounds and I was like, oh, he's going to be bigger. And then like things kept happening and then I was like, oh, it's going to work out. This is his chance. He got JPP.
You ever thought about making the switch to safety? Noah Spence, safety. They need him.
Not
him and Jordan Whitehead just running around like chickens with their heads cut off just exactly. trying to hit people. They're blasting their own guys in the back. Anyways.
So I don't know. Jason's already prefaced this by saying, well, hey, listen, you can't expect every first-round pick to come out and be a Pro Bowler. Well, like you can't expect every second-round pick to be a bust either, and he's had a lot of busts.
Yeah.
That's a premium pick. And
you can't, Jason, you're right. Jason's saying you can't expect, but he's somebody who needs his first and second round picks to succeed
this year. Absolutely.
Year. That's why I'm saying when you go back to drafting a guy with a bum knee, I just think that would be a foolish move for Jason Light personally.
I know.
For the franchise long term, maybe a decent move. But
that's what
but
I said. It would be a ballsy pick. I wouldn't say it would be a good or bad move. It just would be a ballsy pick for him because he's got so much riding on a player that he knows is not going to be available really in 2019 if he picks Jeffrey Simmons.
But you know what? If this team goes 7-9, or even say 6-10, is Jason out of here because of his relationship with Bruce Arians?
I mean, yeah,
how much of
question.
A pull? Does Bruce have saying, well, this is my guy. You know, this is the main reason I came here. You know what I mean? So maybe, maybe he does. Maybe Jason has more confidence that he'll be here.
Maybe he's got a longer leash than we think.
Right.
Yeah. Because does he still – he's still under that 1 year, right? Is this what it is?
To our knowledge.
We understand. I asked
Joel
about that up in Arizona, and he just kind of declined to comment on that. So we don't discuss those things.
Yeah.
So – but I mean, I see those guys now, as a package deal, though, to a degree.
I think I
agree. And keep in mind that I asked Joel that question before, the year before, and unbeknownst to anybody in the media until it came out in the summer, Jason had been extended 1 year.
Yeah.
So just because Joel says that, we don't know. Jason Light might have already.
May have another year on his deal.
Yeah.
Already.
He might have had 2020 already tacked on for a week.
Yeah, I think that. I think I was talking with Rick about this when we were talking about the hiring of Bruce Arians and how that's kind of a feather in Light's cap. But he's like, well, also look at it on the other side. Hiring Bruce Arians also extends Jason Light's time in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, this conversation that we're having now. Because even if they go 6-10, I mean, when it's weird to say because if you would have asked me that, which is kind of no context in a vacuum, the Bucs go 6-10 next year, is Jason Light gone? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, of course he's gone. But then – you really think about it, no, probably not.
It's really up
like,
to
unless
Bruce.
This team,
it's up to Bruce at that
unless
point,
this
right?
Unless this team goes
2-14,
4-12 or worse,
yeah.
I don't think Jason's going anywhere. Because I think that Bruce came back because he gets to work with Jason,
right?
I mean, they know each
Trust,
other super
loyalty,
well.
Respect.
Right? Because now, at that point then, you're asking Bruce who, I don't want to say
he's
this
not
in
a personnel
like,
guy.
I don't want to say this in like a mean way. So I'm trying to think of the words. Like I'm not saying that like Bruce isn't here to like do the work, but he's clearly like here because it's the right situation and because him being in Tampa Bay with Jason Light, somebody he trusts, with all the coaches that he has, with a franchise quarterback over here, it just lets Bruce do what he does best.
Right.
So if they move on from Jason, then We know the Glazers aren't really great at hiring a GM.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, Bruce has got to get involved in who to get a GM.
Yeah.
He's got to be the one to be basically run the hiring process. Sure. And he's not going to want to do that.
Right. Not so, at 67. No, not when he wants to win now and then retire up to Lake Oconee.
Worst case scenario, this team does go 4-12. Jason,
the worst case scenario would be 0-16.
Well, yes, that's technically the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario would be
case scenario would actually probably be 4-12 because then everybody's getting fired and you don't have the number one overall pick. James Winston.
And guess what? That's what I was going to say. That's my
0-16 is actually better. Than
now, Bruce Arians, a year from now, doesn't have his general manager friend. He also doesn't have a quarterback, a quarterback at all.
Would he leave?
Yes,
I think so.
Todd,
I think he would.
Todd, keys are yours.
Oh, my goodness.
Here you go.
We're prepping.
This is a young man's game because if this team goes 4-12, Jameis Winston is gone.
We have
and they're drafting in the top five next year, and they're going to pick a quarterback. So who's the top quarterback prospects in 2020, Trevor?
This whole conversation is spoken some true Tampa Bay Lightning fans right here.
Yeah.
Lano. New head coach, a lot of energy, a lot of positive stuff. All right, but what if they go 4-12?
No, does Cooper get fired if this team gets bounced?
He should. 100% he should get. If they lose tonight, which we're recording the podcast, what is it, Tuesday? I can't even tell anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
He should 100% be fired.
Well, I agree.
I think he should be fired no matter what if they lose a series.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's a good head coach.
Well, I mean, he's certainly got his deficiencies.
He's Tony Dungy.
There you go.
He's Tony Dungy.
Whoa.
Tony Dungy of the hockey world.
Whoa.
About to figure it out in a couple years.
Wow. You just lit up Pewter Nation right there.
He's Tony Dungy.
All right.
He's going to win you a lot of regular season games. You're going to have a lot of hope. When the playoffs come around, he's not going to be that X-factor coach to get you where you need to go. Unless he has Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And right now, they don't have Peyton Manning.
No, they don't.
So, I can't remember what we were talking about, second-round picks?
Yeah.
Who are some? Okay, so let's assume.
I still want to know who the quarterback's going to be in 2020. Who's the best quarterback prospect for next year?
Taylor and I were just talking about this, actually.
The Oregon kid, right?
It's probably going to be Justin Herbert. Tua's going to come out next year, but the thing with Tua is, like, everybody has him on a pedestal, and Tua played really good in the one half of the national championship game, and everybody just assumed he'd be the greatest number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And then he played the first half of Bama's schedule, which is not good.
Right.
And he lit it up, and then kind of at the end of the year, he really struggled. So this year, we might figure out that, like, Tua is not this perfect prospect we think he is. Maybe that's the same with Trevor Lawrence, too. But I don't know. Justin Herbert kind of has a lot to gain. He could be the number one guy next year.
And it's going to be interesting to see what Jake Fromm does with every possible receiving target that he had last year gone now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be really interesting, too. If the Bucs go linebacker at five, let's assume they're taking Devin White. What are the positions you would think they would obviously like?
All right, let's take it a step further. Let's go around the room and name a guy. And the player has to have a reasonable possibility of being there. Otherwise, we get to call bullshit.
Okay.
So, like, we'll start with you. We'll go around to Matt and then to Mark, and then I'll answer, and then we'll have Taylor here clean it up.
All right. There's not really going to be an edge guy.
If Devin White is the pick at five for the Bucs, so you've got your middle linebacker, your inside linebacker now, who would you put on the Buccaneer roster?
I'll give
in the second round.
I'll give two names.
We only said one. Trevor's already screwing this up.
I'll give two names only because one of them we've talked about already. Jeffrey Simmons would be my number one.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that he's the pick.
Okay.
But if he is not.
All right.
Amani Arawarie would be my other guy.
The Penn State corner.
Yes, the Penn State corner.
The Tampa kid.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think Amani is ever going to be a CB1 in the NFL.
Right.
But he is going to be a damn good CB2 for a team that likes to play man coverage or cover three and things like that.
He'll be your Brian Kelly.
Your
Brian
Carlton,
Kelly.
Who can play physical enough. You hope. I mean, right? I mean, like, that's the – everybody talks about, like, oh, Carlton's got to – okay, well, you drafted him thinking that he'll get better and ascend and things like
right.
that. And if you allow Carlton to play on one side and play a little bit more press man, you can allow then Amani to play his very comfortable cover three, which he does very well, be that CB2. You move Vernon Hargraves inside full-time as a nickel. Now you're talking about a legit young cornerback group that I think can continue to get better as the defense is aggressive. So that would be my pick.
Okay. All right. Matt, you're on the clock.
I'm going with Chris Lindstrom from Boston College, a guard.
Okay.
He's a pure guard. We've talked before about some tackles.
He played right guard at Boston College. Exactly. He's plug and play.
perfect go to the Bucks right there. He'll, you know, fight for the starting spot with Alex Kappa, et cetera, et cetera. I just think he's a powerful guy. We saw him at the Senior Bowl. He was really good.
Yeah. He had a good week
blocking.
Up there.
He was really good one-on-one as well with the pass blocking, mm-hmm. so he could do it all. He's, you know, he just grinds it out. He's physical. And a mauler. I like an offensive lineman that just mauls people.
He reminds me, and I want to get your opinion on this, Trevor, before we go to Mark. He reminds me a little bit, physically and the way he plays, of Ali Marpet. He's not like a carbon copy, but there's some similarities there.
He's got a mean streak to him, yeah. right? I mean, like when we were at the Senior Bowl, we talked to Dalton Risner, who's another guy who I would love at the top of the second round for the Buccaneers.
That's my guy.
No, I'm the Kansas Stater.
Okay, you can have him. I got somebody else.
Okay, wait, what? No, but Lindstrom's... I think Lindstrom's got a little bit more finesse to his game. He ran a lot more zone at Boston College. So, like, this is a dude that you can pull a little bit more, which actually allows Allie to be more of an anchor. And I think it makes a lot of sense. So, like I said, like, Risner was talking about Lindstrom when they were both at the Senior Bowl, and he raved about him. He's like, dude, this is a guy who – those two had chemistry right away, which is also really a good sign of an offensive lineman. So, I think Lindstrom would be a good pick. It'd allow them to do zone a lot better than they did the previous year, as Ronald Jones can attest to, that they tried to run zone and they just could not get any blockers out to the side. Chris Lindstrom's a guy who you don't have to worry about in that area. So
you just brought up Dalton Risner. The three of us looked at each other and you just ruined the rest of the segment. I think all three of us.
Yeah, Dalton Risner.
Oh yeah, I was going to do it.
I'm torn between, and I don't know that Greedy Williams falls, because here's a guy that back in January was talked about being the top cornerback on the board.
Right.
Now you see him talent in the top of the second round, though.
Yeah.
Talent-wise, Greedy's by far number one, I think.
Yeah.
He just
– speed and size,
he
too,
just, like,
and playmaking
didn't
ability.
Didn't care this year, right? Yeah. So that I just – like, I don't think that's the mold of certainly what we heard at the podium of a potential Buccaneer pick. Like, dude just straight up didn't tackle this year.
Yeah.
Like, he made so many business decisions this year. He's like, I'm not doing it.
I'm not saying this because he's a Gator and he's your guy, but that's the way I felt Vernon Hargraves the second half of his last year.
I mean, you go back to that Penn State bowl game, why did he even play in that game?
He had no interest at all in tackling anybody.
And Vern's been soft early on in his NFL career.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting, though, because you bring up Greedy Williams, and size, speed, playmaking ability, those are all the things that Todd Bowles is going to want on the outside at the cornerback position. The physicality is an issue, but we've seen Bruce do the whole no biscuit thing. Take a chance, give somebody a second opportunity.
This is true.
And maybe you bring Greedy in and say, listen, can I get the freshman? I want the freshman
rather than
the sophomore.
Right. I do see.
And then you factor in that they drafted Kevin Minter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they drafted Tyrann Mathieu out there in Arizona from LSU. Those mm-hmm. are some LSU products. Here you've got Kendall Beckwith, another LSU, and Quan. So between Bruce and Jason, sometimes you have to connect the dots a little bit.
Sure. And you know, if you're taking Devin White at number five, but if you take White at five, to me, bringing Greedy Williams in here, you've got the two best players on LSU's defense.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Playing for you.
Well,
this team still, in my opinion, needs to find a veteran cornerback to add to this roster, because going into the season with Carlton Davis and Vernon, no, not that one,
sorry,
in Hargraves, just scares me a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's what
scares me a lot is between Vernon Hargraves and Carlton Davis, you have one career interception.
Yes.
And at least Greedy Williams, I know I'm getting a ball hawk, right? Mm-hmm. The guy I liked last year was Dante Jackson mm-hmm. in the draft. Where did he play, Trevor?
But
he played at LSU.
LSU, okay.
But Scott.
And he had four interceptions,
Scott,
including one against the Buccaneers.
He would have had zero in this defense last
year.
Agreed. Zero in this defense.
I agree.
Carlton Davis has
That's a good point.
Two Mike interceptions, Smith, three interceptions at least this year. Vernon
Mike
Hargraves,
Smith, shout out.
If he plays 16.
There he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, this defense was not a let's go get the ball kind of.
Do we think Mike Smith coaches anywhere this year?
No,
he's done. He's
retired.
No,
I don't
retired.
Know the Pop Warner team hires him. No.
I'm asking.
Great guy. Everybody loves you. You know where I could see him? Up in a booth as a defensive consultant.
Oh.
Remember when they brought in Butch yes. Davis a few years ago and Dave Wannstedt when Shiano was here? Kind of, you know.
The hell is it? Yeah. Defensive consultant.
Yeah, I could see that now. Like,
they just sit up in
the
booth.
I could see that now.
They don't really turn his thing on. He just thinks he's talking to
right.
the coach.
Either that, right.
You know.
Yeah. Either that or he's actually on the headset going, you might want to get the safety back about 10 yards.
Yeah.
Turn mics. turn Mike's transmitter off.
Yes.
Turn the volume down.
Yeah, we can actually see the safety in the TV broadcast, so can you push him back so we can't see him like we did in Tampa?
Right.
You get your safety 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. What the hell are you doing?
Are you crazy?
Put him on the goal line.
I do want to say that I love Dalton Reisner, though.
Yeah.
I was, you know, anybody who's listened to a podcast that I've been on talk about Dalton Reisner has heard this quote a million times, but I'm going to continue to say it. When I was,
you haven't done a million podcasts.
Oh, you're right. It's been a million and one, it feels like. When I was at Reisner's podium for the combine,
mm-hmm.
one, the dude was kind of like all smiles, like he was excited to be there. You could just tell that he just enjoyed everything yep. about it. And the way that he talked about playing offensive line, which is, there's no glory in offensive line. You know,
right.
you play 65 snaps a game, you give up two sacks, you're an absolute bum. You stonewall the guy for 63 straight plays, give right. up two, mm-hmm. you're a bum, you're trash,
that's right.
get him out, right? So it's such a tough mental position to play, and it's physical, tough physical position to play. And the way that he talked about the joy that he had playing O-line and the chemistry that he has with his guys and how he wouldn't play any other position on the team, and somebody asked him, straight up, like, why do you play O-line? And he kind of smiled, and immediately he said, well, there's a quote by, I don't remember who it's by, that he said he's taken to heart his whole career, and he said, there's nothing like moving a man from point A to point B against their will.
Yeah.
And he kind of, like, smiled saying it, and I was just like, give me that guy
yeah.
on the offensive line.
So, you know who also said that? Ted Bundy. That makes me think he may be a serial killer.
So,
I don't know that I want this guy on the team.
If you draft him, you got a documentary about your team coming. It's free publicity, okay?
You get the 30 for 30
yes.
on ESPN,
yeah.
and you got the Netflix series
yeah.
coming
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
right.
Then you have, the then you have people tapes. Buying vintage Buck stuff, you know? Sales go up.
All right, so
it's a win-win.
I'll say this as the resident K-Stater, and I will give you props because you were higher on Dalton Reisner way back when. This is
mm-hmm.
before we were having conversations the first day of training camp about Dalton Reisner.
Yeah.
And I think that he has some legit first-round chance. I think that from 20 to 40 is where he's going to go. And if he has a fan, if he has the right team that needs him, you know, maybe Minnesota is, I think, drafting around there. They need some offensive line help. He's the kind of guy, and this speaks to what you were saying about at the podium, he's such a charismatic force when you're in the room with him. You want to believe in him. You want him on your team
because
mm-hmm. you know you're going to get a leader, hard worker. You're going to get, as Jason Light would say, you're drafting the player as much as you are, or you're drafting the person as much as you are the player.
Yeah.
You're getting the person, no doubt about it there.
Yeah.
The thing about Dalton is it doesn't always look great. It's not pretty. He is a barroom brawler. He has some technique. His kick slide is not nearly as smooth as Titus Howard's.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So Titus Howard from Alabama State, we saw that kick slide.
He moves better. I think he's got better
smooth.
Feet. Dalton seems like narrow kind of with his feet,
yeah.
which I think.
And they're choppy. And it looks brutish.
I always think it's going to get him more in trouble than it does, though. You know, that's
exactly.
the thing. Like, I watched Dalton
He still Reisner, gets the job done.
And it's, it yeah. does. It's still, and for this team, especially if they can get him at the top of the second round, you're playing him at right guard immediately this year.
Exactly.
You kind of get to maybe rework his footwork, and when DeMar Dotson is gone,
yep.
you can kick the student out to right tackle.
Exactly. And I think that's the value, is you're getting a guy that I think can be a Pro Bowl caliber guard, and I'm not going to rule him out as a Pro Bowl caliber tackle either
mm-hmm.
at some point in time. So you're kind of getting a two-for-one there. Plus, you're getting a safe, rock solid choice
yeah.
of a human being,
yep.
and really, I think a vocal leader on the offensive line.
Yep.
And I think that when we covered the Bucs last year, when Ali Marpet was a team captain, it was almost like Ali's probably looking and saying, "Oh, wait, you voted for me? Oh, I'm the team captain? Really? Oh, wow. Okay. All right." And I don't know that Ali really has that personality to be that rah-rah type leader, and that is Dalton Reisner.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
it is.
He became the leader of that group at the Senior Bowl
mm-hmm.
on John Gruden's team.
No, he
so
did.
That's my guy. I think the other guy I would throw out there is in our current mock draft, and I really like him, and I know that Jason has drafted safeties high, second-round pick for Justin Evans.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Bruce spend a first-round pick on a safety and Deion Buchanan out there in Arizona. So the safety position, I mean, you got to improve your defensive backfield. They need a nickel corner. They need a slot defender. And I think that Darnell Savage from Maryland is a player that has enough force and enough pop that he can be a strong safety in the box. He's got enough coverage skills and speed where he can – He can line up in the slot as a nickel and all that stuff too.
Yeah. No, I agree. Savage is good. He's an athletic dude. He'd be a good pick.
You guys kind of covered every point I had. I think Jeffrey Simmons is a great guy to pick, but you're also, like you said, taking a year off. And I think the Bucks have so many holes that they can't take a second-round pick that they're willing, unless they trade down, get another second-round pick.
Right.
I don't think they can sit around for another year with a guy not being an impact guy.
It's fair.
I think in my battle plan, I had them taking Amani Oruwariye at the top of the second. They actually traded, got a second one. I think took Omenihue in that one later, but he might be there in the third at this point,
yeah,
unless someone reaches in the second.
No, he's not going to be in there fourth, but like late second, early third.
So I think top of the second might be tough to go for Omenihue, and he might not be the most pressing need. Dalton Risner, again, is my ideal guy. He's, when you talk to him, he's charismatic, and you just I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, just love talking to him. Talked to him twice.
You know,
and, but then
he's a
nasty
burger and beer kind of guy to me.
Totally.
You know what I mean? When you see him, you see that's a guy that would love to go find a great Tampa location that serves wonderful burgers. You know, maybe you want a Kobe burger. Maybe you want a Angus burger. Maybe you want a turkey burger. They can probably get that. And he looks like a guy that could choke down, I don't know, probably three burgers, don't you say?
No, yeah.
At least. Minimum.
4 or 5 beers.
At least.
And it's too bad we don't have a good location in Tampa for that.
This is flawless, by the way.
You like that?
I was actually like bought into like what you were saying, and then I realized what was going
You're
on.
You're hooked,
and
You're
I've like
hooked.
Done this podcast 1,000 times,
yep.
And you had me literally hooked.
Yeah, well,
so you got burger and beer. Yeah,
he's a meat and potatoes kind of guy, but more of a burger and beer guy. And
I think he's a pancake guy.
What's a burger? What's a place where he could go get a burger and beer if he comes down to Tampa?
Oh boy,
there's a lot of places.
I still say,
yeah.
I mean,
Chevy's Overhang.
You know?
There you go with the Chevys again.
You know?
Ford. It's you Ford. It's Ford's Garage. Ford's Garage with multiple locations throughout Central Florida.
We all believed in you.
Hey, I always get it mixed up.
Yeah, we won't let
it happen. I was thinking Chevy's Carport or...
We won't believe you ever again.
Well, you can go check them out now if you're in the Kissimmee area. If you're over hanging around with the Big Mouse over there and you want to grab lunch or dinner on your way out, Ford's Garage is now open in the Kissimmee location right next to the Margaritaville Resort. In Kissimmee, not far from Disney World, so go check them out there. Of course, they're all over the Tampa Bay area. I go to the one in Brandon. Scott goes to the one in Wesley Chapel. Matt goes to the one in Countryside. And Taylor goes to the one in New Tampa that's not there yet. So he has to go to the one in Wesley Chapel. So
I went to the one in Brandon like 2 weeks ago.
Thanks for the invite.
And
thanks for heading up.
Yeah, you know,
I have gift cards.
He didn't even think about you, is what he's trying to say.
I noticed
that. Actually had a gift card. That's probably why I didn't text you.
Oh, okay.
So no, I already got
good,
one.
Good thinking.
I had
did Alyssa
not,
enjoy it?
I can't. Yeah, she did.
Okay, good.
I can't remember why I didn't eat for like 24 hours, but I had not eaten anything
I can give
in
you,
like 24
I can,
hours.
I can remember you were probably passed out, hungover, drunk,
this
and you slept for 24 hours straight.
Probably. At that point in time, probably true.
Trevor, we got some bad news for you.
What?
Whether you've eaten the whole plate of nachos or whatever, the signed autographed
yes.
Barrett Rude cover is gone.
It's
no,
gone.
I saw it. Somebody tagged me in it when they ate it all. I was super proud of them. But we got nachos for the table, which I had a little bit of.
Of course.
Okay. And then I got a like meal-sized Caesar salad. And then I also got a burger and fries, and I finished all of it.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah.
You must have a tapeworm.
You know?
How do you eat that much,
listen,
being that skinny?
I'm not going to get it checked, so.
That's a good idea.
You're just going to keep eating a lot of food.
You know how they get rid of tapeworms, right? You sit in a milk bath and it comes out of your nose.
A milk bath?
Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, that's disgusting. Yeah. And Ford's is not disgusting. Great place to go. Great atmosphere. Go cheer on the Tampa Bay Lightning at Ford's Garage tonight. They've got televisions all over the place. They're huge, huge Lightning fans. And go check them out. And if the Lightning lose, look, there's enough alcohol there you can drown your sorrows away.
Yes.
Ford's Garage, located throughout the Tampa Bay area. Check them out online, FordsGarageUSA.com.
Speaking of checking out, you can check out the Pewter Report staff on the draft video cast. We're doing it again, third year in a row. It's going to be wall-to-wall draft coverage, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th. We're going to be starting it off on draft night on that Thursday at 6 p.m.
with a wonderful sponsor.
Edmondson Electric and Security is going to be the title sponsor for our draft coverage. You've seen Edmondson Electric and Security ads throughout our draft previews. You guys have done a great job on those and the Bucks' best bets. We are at defensive tackle today. We've got outside linebackers, those edge rushers coming tomorrow, and then inside linebackers. I wonder who the Bucks' best betted inside linebacker is going to be. Taking suggestions. So
Brian Burns.
Bobby Okereke.
There you go, Mr. Stanford.
Of course, the fumble on the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
You mad?
So be sure to check us out. All you have to do is log on to pewterreport.com on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop. And on draft day, stay with pewterreport.com, wall-to-wall Bucks coverage. Myself, Mark Cook, and the young lads here are going to be entertaining you with commentary at every pick.
Yep.
And then also how those picks are going to affect your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So whether it's just for the number 5 pick overall or the entire first round, because I think the Bucs might be trading up. I do. I've got a funny feeling this year we might see them trade up into the latter part of the first round.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the first round they're going to trade up.
No, I think they're going to be. Yeah, I think they're going to be going up.
Going straight for Kyler Murray.
Yeah. So be sure to check out pewterreport.com's live draft video cast on Thursday and Friday and Saturday of the draft, and it's going
to
be fun.
Hey, and if you got nothing to do, or if you don't have anything to do, I think it's proper English instead of nothing to do, is on tomorrow night, which it will be Wednesday, if you're listening to this before Wednesday, we're having a charity bowling tournament, not tournament, but event over at Pin Chasers on Armenia.
You always play for keeps, Cook.
There will be some gambling going on, I guarantee you. I need some money to take Chris Garrido to invest in my family's financial future.
That's right.
The metal detector's not working out for me. And but anyway, bowling event, $15 gets you an opportunity to hang out with Martin Gramatica. And his brother Santiago will be there as well. They're going to be there. It's in support of their family foundation, which is really good, guys. They build homes for wounded combat vets, people coming back from overseas, people that are wounded veterans. They help build homes for these guys in the Tampa Bay area. And all of your $15 goes to them. We don't keep a penny. Pin Chasers donates it all right back. All of that money will go to Martin's foundation. He will be there to sign autographs. We'll have a bunch of raffle prizes. Even if you don't bowl, come by, hang out, donate your $15. Get a picture with Martin, with Santiago. But know that it's going for a great cause. You can sign up by going to Pewter Report's Facebook page. You can confirm, or you can just show up. We'll make some room for you, even if you haven't officially RSVP'd. That's tomorrow night at Pin Chasers. Registration starts at 6:30. The bowling event kicks off at 7. 2 hours of bowling, slice of pizza, a soda, shoes. They'll even give you a pair of socks you can take home for $15. You can't beat that with a stick.
Yeah.
So
and
check it out.
Martin Gramatica, proof that you don't draft a kicker until the third round.
Roberto Aguayo, proof that you don't draft a kicker ever in any round in the history of the world.
Automatica was a good pick.
First of all, he
went to Kansas State.
I haven't forgiven him for missing that kick against Green Bay in the season finale that cost the Buccaneers a first-round bye, and they ended up going to Philadelphia.
He was the kicker on the Super Bowl year. He's won a lot of games for him over the years.
It was a 40-yarder, Scott.
It was in Green Bay.
He's got to make that with his left foot.
He's
Florida. He's a professional.
He's a Floridian.
Unacceptable. He's from Argentina.
Well, yeah, but he grew up in Florida.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. We appreciate everybody listening. Hey, Trevor Sikkema, thanks for joining us, man. Make sure to check out his work at the Draft Network.
Yes.
Great website. And second only to Pewter Report in draft coverage. Appreciate
about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, Gorgeous Buccaneers.
Good.
Yeah,
you
like
that?
Okay, good.
No, it was great. I'm glad I got to do this.
Actually, too, make sure you read it. I just read it. You've got a very cool article about the Buccaneers' draft plans at defensive tackle.
Yes.
Should they move on from Gerald McCoy? What I liked about it was you gave three options for the Bucs to replace Gerald.
Right.
One on each day of the draft.
Right, right.
So and I agreed with all your picks.
Day
too.
One, day two,
yep.
Day three.
No spoilers.
All the options.
Yeah. So check out that article on the Draft Network.
Thanks.
For Taylor Jenkins, Matt Matera, Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
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 Later.